Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week for three more weeks. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I am here in the studio recording right across from my co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Matt.
Guess what? It is our third to last ever episode of Unhappy Hour.
Oh, my God.
Well, never say never. You never know if we have specials come out. Who knows?
Yeah.
The point is, keep our show in your feeds.
Do it.
Because we're going to pop up at some point, I'm sure. But let's get to today's episode first. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to kick things off, as always, today with a little ranting, and then we're going to mix it up with Worst Things First, where I shout about the most stupidest, ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're doing one of our favorite ever deep dives to do. Because, you know, three episodes left, we have to do something stupid. A stoned deep dive.
Yes.
And not just any stoned deep dive.
No, no, no.
A special stoned science with Matt deep dive. Because if we know one thing, it's that I know science.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm under the influence of a narcotic. Because
here's a dumb question. Is weed a narcotic?
Yeah. Is it not?
Is weed? Well, you know what? We'll save that question for the deep dive.
Yeah. All of the scientific questions that I've ever wanted to ask myself and answer my altered state, we're going to find out. And finally, we'll get into all the good stuff that helps the bad shit go down easier with our chaser. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, Barry, we were off for a week. We're back. I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks.
I hate that I haven't seen you. I'm so happy to see you now.
I forgot what your face looked like.
I know. Are you disappointed?
Yeah, that's what they don't tell you about not being around someone. Is that, yeah, they're a letdown when you see them again.
You're like, why did I like you?
What do you have to gripe about this week?
Here's what I have to gripe about. This is the thing that I've always known as a letdown.
Uh-huh.
And that are those shoes that look like hooves.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate those. I thought that they were a trend that would die. But
right.
They seem to be having a resurgence.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please stop. Like, you told me that, like, camel toe is not okay, but now camel toe on the feet is okay.
Uh-huh.
And, like, either it's allowed everywhere or we allow it nowhere is how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I also, you can't wear those shoes and not have me think she's a horse. And this is coming from a closeted horse girl.
Right.
I don't like it.
I can recall the exact time and place where I first saw one of those shoes and thinking, like, this is a prank. There's cameras somewhere. This is not a real shoe. Someone's playing a joke on me. Like, I took a picture of it, tweeted it out, being like, can you believe this shit? Am I the only one seeing this? And yeah, that was like almost 10 years ago,
yeah.
Probably. It was like when I first moved to New York. And I was like, oh, shit, the city wild. And yeah, but now they are like coming back.
And I'm like, why? Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Maybe it's like, I don't want to give too much of a platform to the crazy man who's been saying a lot of stuff on Twitter, who also happens to run a crazy shoe company.
Mm-hmm.
You may know him. He's a rapper, was married to Kim Kardashian. A bunch of employees who used to work for him, like, Rolling Stone did this whole article where they were talking about how, like, abusive of a boss he was, and how he specifically said the design of his shoes, he wanted people to literally want to fuck their shoes.
Oh.
That, it makes more sense. The hoof shoe makes more sense.
Sure, sure.
Because there is there's clear cleavage.
Yes.
There's a clear crack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a clear spot where one might insert
something.
Something. The alien shoes that man is making, I don't want to fuck that.
No,
no.
I also, though, like, when it comes to, like, toe separation within a shoe, I think I actually prefer the, like, runner shoe where it's basically a sock in shoe form.
I don't think I even considered the fact that it was splitting your toes in half.
Isn't it, or is it not? And if it's not, then why the fuck is that line there? And if it is that comfortable? I don't know. Should we look at the... What are those shoes even called?
Horseshoes.
Horseshoes.
Yeah, is it a particular designer that made these shoes?
I don't... Hoof shoe trend.
Oh, are they... Maison Margiela? I don't know how to say that designer. The tabby boot? Is that what it's called?
Well, I just want to know what the inside looks like. It's got to split your foot, right?
Yeah, I really hate it. Even looking at them.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it just looks like, you know when you see a photo of those snakes that accidentally have like two heads because of a mutation?
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No.
Anyway, that we have those images firmly in our brains, really do hate those two.
What's getting you down? What's your gripe this week?
Well, I know everybody is clamoring for an update because I was
home for
almost 2 weeks with Truffles for the first time. I traveled with her on an airplane for the first time. We survived. She was actually, like, I think traumatized into being docile.
Wow.
I don't love. I mean, even yesterday when I flew back from Chicago to New York, I was like, this is, like, cruel. I mean, it just feels like very overwhelming sensory. I've decided I think it's best that I give her drugs when I travel.
Okay.
Initially, I was like, I don't want to do that because she wasn't, like, barking or whining or screaming the whole time. But I'm like, I just feel like it would be more pleasant for her if she was high.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, yeah, you give them like baby Benadryl and they pass out and then it's fine.
And then she just like wakes up in another place.
But it was overwhelming for me. I mean, this is a sign that I'm truly becoming a dog mother where
I'm so proud of you. In
the plane, I felt like I was experiencing everything from her perspective where I'm like, oh my God, this is so loud. This is probably so scary. Meanwhile, she was doing nothing. But so travel was fine.
Uh-huh.
But then we got to my parents' house and it was like, what is going to happen when we introduce her to Carly, my family's dog? Again, K, two E's.
Of course.
Spelled
never
the Pinterest
forget.
Way. Carly is 3 years old. Shih Tzu weighs 10 pounds at the most. Absolutely hated Truffles with her full chest. I'll send the clip to you. We can put it.
This is a brief clip
of just the sound that Carly made when she first met Truffles. Best described as a scream, I would say. An absolute scream of anger and terror.
Yeah. A battle cry.
Besides maybe three visits to the vet her entire life and, you know, birth, Carly has never encountered another dog, period.
Right.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
End of sentence. So Carly absolutely freaked out. We tried to introduce them outside, but it was like freezing in Chicago. So we went inside and Truffles did like go to snap at Carly. And in that moment, we were all like, fuck, is this going to go down entirely different than we thought? Truffles is going to be the aggressor. But I think it was just like puppy sort of like energy.
Right.
Basically, what it all boiled down to for the entire week was that Truffles has all of this like abundance of puppy energy, wants to like swat and jump and play. And Carly was like, absolutely the fuck not. And every time Truffles got within 1 foot radius of Carly, she would go absolutely feral. And did, in fact, kind of bite me because I, like, got in the way of her mouth.
Oh, no.
She basically bit my belly button a little bit.
Oh my God. She tried to give you a little belly button piercing? Like it's 1998?
Yeah, I could have. Wow. I could have put like five little rings into my belly button. Truffles was like on my lap and then Carly sort of like lunged and then, yeah, got my little floppy belly button. And yeah, so my gripe is my bitch dog, Carly.
Dog sister?
Yeah, she was like so mean. Essentially, the compromise or the solution that we had to come up with was a giant gate that bisected our living room the entire week.
Wow.
And my mom and Carly stayed on one side of it, and I stayed on the other side with Truffles.
How did your mom handle all this?
I do think it was that weird sort of tension at the beginning where it was like, now it's like, Carly is not my dog anymore. It's like
right.
firmly their dog.
Yeah.
And Truffles is my dog. And teams are forming. Uh-huh. And like, who is responsible for the misbehaving dog?
Mm.
And initially it was like, oh, fuck, it's going to be Truffles, who I have to be embarrassed for. And I was relieved that eventually it was Carly.
Yeah.
They had to be embarrassed for.
Right.
The only other detail I'll give, so we don't have to belabor this too much, is I was convinced that Truffles would be like, if I were to leave and leave her with other people, she would be like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would have no real loyalty to me. That
right.
was my assumption.
Yeah.
Because just how excited she gets when other people come over.
Yeah.
And when she whines when you leave, I'm
Thank
like,
you.
Yeah, if someone else were here and I left, she probably wouldn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it turns out she's incredibly attached to me. Absolutely flips the fuck out if I leave the room.
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter who else is there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not great.
Okay. Well, we got some things to work on.
Sure, sure. Cannot wait to put her through all the stress again in just 3 weeks when I go back for Christmas.
Yay.
I know. At the end, my mom was like, do you want to just leave her here until Christmas? And then, like, she
absolutely
can get used to
not.
Carly. And I was like, that seems like a long...
Yeah,
I
mean, absolutely not.
I guess it's only 3 weeks. Yeah. But, like, yeah, that seems like a cruel thing for her.
And for Carly. Because you're just asking Carly to murder someone.
Right. No, Carly is fully traumatized. My mom called me today and was like, the gate is down, like, there's no separation, and she still, like, won't cross that part of the room. So we've done some irreparable psychic damage to her, but, yeah. So to summarize, my gripe is that my parents have a bitch dog who's
right.
a piece of shit and
uh-huh.
not very nice.
Wow.
And Truffles is a perfect angel.
Yay.
And she does no wrong.
I love
except
her.
Shit and piss everywhere.
What's happening in the rant hotline today? Let's check it out.
Yeah, let's play some rants.
Hi, Matt and Barry. My name is Dee. And I want to talk about something that is absolutely disgusting, but everyone keeps pretending is really good, and that is banana pudding. It's revolting. It looks like vomit. It's really soggy and weird. And I was so excited when I moved to New York to go to Magnolia Bakery because it was in Second City, and everyone said it's so good, and it's gross. It's really gross, and I'm shocked that people pay money for that. Okay, that's it. Bye.
Oh, my God. You come into my house, and you bitch about banana pudding, one of my top 10 desserts, I would say.
Wow.
I love bananas so much to an upsetting degree. I have some friends who, like, they hate bananas
uh-huh.
and are, yeah, disgusted by the fact that I can eat 2 or 3 bananas a day. Yeah, I fucking love banana pudding.
I love banana pudding, too.
I would agree that I do believe sometimes Magnolia Bakery pudding can be a bit much for people.
Okay.
But I would disagree that it's soggy. I have the opposite experience of Magnolia. If anything, Magnolia Bakery is like cakey pudding.
Yeah.
It's like thick.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this isn't even pudding. This is like, I'm just eating mushed up cake.
Yeah. This is more like, I guess, a gripe against pudding in general because I love pudding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, there's really good pudding, but the second that pudding, the amount of times I've said pudding now, I can't. Something in my brain just broke from the amount of times I've said it.
Yeah.
But when it's like wet,
right,
it's not good. And I feel like that's where the sogginess comes. Like if you don't eat it right away
True.
And it kind of becomes wet, then it just quickly becomes disgusting.
Yeah, there's a pretty small window that
yeah.
you have to
yeah.
eat it in. And also, I do agree that bananas in particular are like, once they're exposed to air,
yeah.
once you open that peel, there's a pretty rapid countdown to when it's edible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I, for the first time, made a banana bread, and I think the bananas were too ripe. I thought, like, how, like, the browner they get, the sweeter
right.
they are.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be, like, a past due point.
No,
there is.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. Where it was like, even in the final baked product, I was like, I can taste how disgusting those bananas
oh,
were.
Oh, good, good, good.
We still finished it.
Oh, great.
But yeah, I agree. It is a tricky product. However, I do love banana pudding. I will defend it to the death. And the fact that Magnolia Bakery, who follows me on Instagram, has not sent me free pudding, even though I go to bat for them.
Every week,
disgusting.
Every day.
Even though I went to that event at Jacob's Pickles where served Magnolia pudding and got ridiculously high to the point of embarrassing myself, they didn't send me free pudding. Outrage. Why isn't Levain and Magnolia Bakery done a partnership?
Great question.
Put banana pudding between cookies. Pudding sandwich.
Done. I'll eat it.
Yeah. Or not, and we'll start our own bakery.
Okay.
And do it.
We got time.
Anyway, thank you for your input, even though it's wrong. And yeah, I don't think all banana puddings are equal. Some are bad.
Some are bad, especially when they get wet.
Yeah. Also, like, I do appreciate that Nilla wafers only exist for banana pudding.
Nobody is using them for anything else. Just banana pudding.
Yeah.
What else is happening in the Ryan Hotline?
Hi, Matt. Hi, Barry. My name is... I hate my name. First of all, my name is already... I got an old lady's name. My name is Ruth. But you're probably not going to hear this, but I just need to vet somebody because I've been trying to push this as deep as I can, but I'm 27 years old, and I have a fucking crush. A crush? I'm a grown woman! 27, I'm supposed to have a crush? What the fuck? Every time I see his dumb face, my heart beats really fast, and I start thinking about it, and I'm like, no! Get yourself together! A crush? At my age? Uh-uh. And it's somebody from work, so I have to see him every day, and it's so annoying! I just needed to tell somebody because nobody knows because I've been so ashamed of myself that I'm 27 years old with a crush.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. I just needed to tell somebody.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I have a crush on you
Thanks, guys. Love you. If you do put this on there, please let me know what episode it is so that I don't listen to that because it's cringe. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Play this for your crush.
Yeah. A work crush especially is a dangerous one.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't escape that.
No, you're going to have to quit your job.
Especially, like, I don't know how people have been having, where if you work at a job where, like, you have to be on a Zoom all day, every single day, and, like, essentially you have the opportunity to just stare into the face of your crush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just pin their Zoom box.
I know for a fact if I worked at an office job 9 to 5 where I had to be on Zoom in that situation and I had a work crush, I would have done something to get me fired. Like, I, not on purpose,
okay.
But like by now I would have slipped up and like accidentally said something out loud thinking I was on mute or like thought I was DMing someone else but sent it to them, like done something that they would be like harassment.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't harass your coworker.
No, don't follow my example at all.
But do create a shrine for him in your closet.
Yeah. I do love where people are like, oh, having a crush is great because it's like harmless and like they don't have to know about it and you just get to like crush on them. No, it's not harmless.
No.
Actually, it's incredibly devastating.
It's extremely painful for everyone involved.
Yeah. There's a fine line between having a crush and like being Romeo, essentially, because that's what drove him to marry a 16-year-old and then kill himself.
Wow.
It's because he had a crush on some bitch named Rosalind, I think, if I remember that correctly.
Not Juliet.
No, because it's act one, scene one.
Okay.
If you recall,
I don't.
Of Romeo and Juliet, is Romeo is in love with some other girl, and he's like, oh, I love her, and she doesn't love me back. And then he meets Juliet, and he's like, actually, I'd rather jump in that caboose.
Beautiful.
Anyway, yeah, devastating to have a crush. But I will admit, I don't think there's an age limit for having a crush. Well, 35.
Okay.
You like how I still put it above me?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think having a crush over 35 is embarrassing.
Sure. You heard it here.
But you're
Those
still,
are the rules now.
You're still good. 27.
Yeah, you got so many years.
Your name might be that of an old woman, but you are still youthful and you can enjoy having a crush, even though it is devastating and will ultimately consume your life. Or you'll fall in love.
Yeah.
You never know. We know. Anyway, thank you for calling into the Rant Hotline. Guess what? Next week's episode, the second to last ever episode of Unhappy Hour, the official seasons, will be a Rant Hotline episode.
Woo!
So basically, as soon as you hear this, you better call in and leave a rant.
Yeah.
And don't just bitch about how the show is ending.
No.
You can mention it and say how much you love us, but make your rant about something.
Something deep inside that you've wanted to share.
Yeah, that you've always wanted to share. This is your chance.
Do it.
But you know what? Maybe we just leave the Rant Hotline open.
Sure.
Maybe we pop back in occasionally for like some Rant Hotline.
I'm always down.
You never know.
Never. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Don't count on that.
Okay.
Call in with your Rant Hotline.
Sure.
While you still have the chance. All right. Let's get into our headlines. All right, worst things first, let's chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. First, a police station in Virginia is finding itself in deep trouble because a sinkhole opened up underneath it and it's swallowing her right up.
Oh, all right, Mother Nature.
Get it? Deep trouble.
Wow, yeah.
Because it's going down.
Yeah.
It's deep.
That's a good one. You should be a comedian.
Mother Earth said... ACAB, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's this police station in Virginia that's like on this highway, and this sinkhole opened up on the highway. And initially it was kind of small, but then like one of the hurricanes happened. I don't know which one. And then the sinkhole got way bigger. Initially it was 6 feet wide and 30 feet deep. This is a question maybe I should save for the deep dive to have a deeper conversation about it. What are sinkholes?
Nobody knows. We should absolutely be asking that question.
Because it's just like the earth just opens up. Like, is it not?
Right, but sometimes it's like man-made because a lot of times it's like concrete. Like streets will just open up. So is it like because of the concrete getting cold and then getting warmed up again and it just kind of breaks?
Yeah.
Or is it like quicksand?
I don't understand
no.
it, and we can save this conversation for later, but
all right.
Yeah, don't like that. I do love, though, that they started pouring fill material under the highway to try to fill in the hole, and then they started just building a bridge over it. They were like, fuck it, you're going to open up, we'll build a bridge over you. But the chief engineer building the bridge said, quote, we just put it together like a big Lego set.
Okay.
And that feels like you shouldn't be saying that.
No,
if
no.
you're the chief engineer.
Absolutely not.
Of a real life situation and not a children's book.
Right. You're as the chief engineer is actually 8 years old.
Right.
It's just like he's really the best with Lego.
Yeah. Lincoln Logs?
Yeah.
Fire them up.
Yeah.
I feel like Lincoln Logs are racist. I don't know why, but I just feel like,
sure.
You were building a plantation is what's happening?
Yeah.
Just because Abraham Lincoln lived in a log house? I don't know anybody else, a historical figure, besides Laura Ingalls Wilder and Abraham Lincoln who lived in a log house. Why is that so much a part of Abraham Lincoln's identity?
Because he didn't do anything else with his life.
What, like, didn't
so they just fixate on the logs.
Right.
That's his legacy.
Also because he was gay and he was swallowing logs.
Oh, my God.
Next, TSA at JFK Airport sent out an alert after an entire cat was found in someone's checked luggage.
Alive?
Yeah.
That's not where that should be at all.
No, they say pretty specifically, don't do that.
Yeah. It's one of the little icons when you're checking in and they're like, don't bring all of these things. And one of them's just like a little cat.
I don't understand. So when you board an animal for a flight.
Uh-huh.
They just throw it in with the luggage.
Yeah, but like it's in a cage. But yeah, they just really, that's my understanding.
But it's not like that part of the plane is not like pressurized?
What does it look like is my question.
A cat?
No. Where do the suitcases go in an airplane?
I don't know.
I would assume it's like a bus, like how the bus has the like drawers
right.
at the bottom,
right.
you know?
What if it's like beautiful, like Versailles? You walk in and there's just like gold plating everywhere.
Oh my God.
And like, yeah, chandeliers.
Wow.
And just beautiful fountains.
Oh my God.
And all of the luggage gets to just enjoy a vista of France.
Then this cat is probably having a great time.
No, it got caught before it made it to the flight.
Oh, okay.
Because the TSA agent noticed that there was big tufts of orange fur poking out of part of the unzipped suitcase and was like, that doesn't belong there. And then they put it under the x-ray machine just to be safe and found an entire four-pawed tailed cat. AKA a cat.
A cat, yeah. Here's the thing. That person should not own a cat. I'm just going to go ahead and say that person's not responsible
for another
living creature.
A dramatization of this person finding out that their cat was in there. Oh, my God. What? How did that get there? Oh, my gosh.
She does like to just jump in suitcases sometimes.
Yeah, that was their excuse, was that they did not know the cat was in there, and it must have jumped in before they closed it up. Like, how do you not?
Right, unless the cat opened it. Like, with its sneaky little paws. Here's the thing about cats. I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe that a cat would sneak its way in like a little bitch.
They have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
They can fully operate a zipper.
Yeah. They probably bought the plane ticket, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they were flying to that island where only cats live, in Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that happens. When I pack a suitcase and close it up, I have to put, like, my whole pussy into
it.
There is no way. In the last, like, 5 years, have not closed a suitcase without exerting, like, G-force.
Yeah, there is no room for a cat to sneak in.
Yeah, I don't have any extra room for a cat. Next, firefighters in Alaska got an unusual request from the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, who needed help rescuing a 500-pound moose that got trapped in someone's basement.
Moose are so big.
Moose are scary big.
I always think they're just like deer, but no, bitch. They're like king deer.
Yeah, it's
they're
like big bigger foot. Than an SUV.
Yeah.
500 pounds.
That's like an elephant. It's not like an elephant. I don't know how much elephants weigh.
And this was just a one-year-old moose.
Oh.
I guess it looked like it was eating vegetation near the window well of a basement window. And it fell through it and then fell into the basement through the glass. And 6 firefighters had to come in and save it.
Once again, what do firefighters do?
Be hot and save
and
moose.
Rescue moose, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a fire in sight.
I would do that. I would fall down a window. Oh, no. Come help.
I'm a thick baby.
Exactly. Anyway, that's that story.
Love it.
And finally, people in Woburn?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Woburn, Massachusetts.
No, you say, people would say Woburn, but Alex's family lives there and we call it Woburn.
Wow.
Woburn, Massachusetts.
So you just pronounce it wrong?
Woburn. No, it's
That's
not wrong.
That's how it's pronounced?
It's unclear to me. It's basically how his family's like from there too. Woburn.
Well, people there have been subjected to a barrage of attacks and intimidation by a group of wild turkeys.
There are a lot of wild turkeys in that area.
Led by a male bird named Kevin.
It's always fucking Kevins.
With the situation forcing some to take up improvised weapons. And some residents reporting being trapped in their homes.
Wow. 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 I should have done like in the field reporting about this
yeah.
during Thanksgiving.
You should have killed Kevin.
I should have.
So Kevin is the leader of this band of turkeys who have been terrorizing this town in Massachusetts where Alex's family lives.
Yeah. Also, I just got to point out, time to use the button.
Birdwatch 2022.
What if Alex's family, it's like one of those moments where you find out that a bookcase has like a secret compartment behind
uh-huh.
it, but instead of like a Nazi uniform, it's like
5 wild turkeys, one named Kevin.
Yeah, a shrine to Kevin. And they've secretly been like feeding him and supporting him and,
yeah.
and funding him.
Wouldn't surprise me. The other thing, though, that we should all know about Woburn is that I saw 2 massive fucking coyotes. Like, just, I mean, they weren't fucking, but they were 2 massive coyotes. I've never seen coyotes so big before in my whole life. And now I think I know why. It's because they're eating
yeah.
really big turkeys.
Or they've had to evolve to deal with
fight
wild turkeys.
Against Kevin.
Well, I guess, according to this story, these turkeys only arrived in Woburn, 2 years ago.
Oh, Woburn.
And they were initially, like, kind of nice. But
yeah.
then over time, I mean, being in Massachusetts will turn anybody into yeah. a raging dick. And people there, like, are afraid to leave their house.
Oh, no.
The turkeys peck at their cars. They stop traffic. They go after kids on bikes. If you're walking or jogging or anything like that, they come after you. Here's the thing. This article says that turkeys are native to the U.S. They died out in Massachusetts by 1851 due to habitat loss. And so biologists in the 1970s reintroduced turkeys.
What?
By trapping New York birds and then reintroducing them in Massachusetts. And now there are like tens of thousands of turkeys in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of turkeys there.
Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
That like humans decided to just trap some New York turkeys, like 30 of them, and reintroduce them to Massachusetts. And now
against their will,
some bird named Kevin is terrorizing a town.
Could you imagine being forced to move from New York to Boston? That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks for those turkeys.
Not great for them.
Ugh.
Anyway, shout out to Kevin. You're doing amazing. This may be a situation where I'm rooting for the bird.
Yeah.
And that is it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are getting high and diving deep into science. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive,
deep dive, deep
dive, deep dive, deep dive.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment, and if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge, and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Wouldn't it be so funny if we accidentally started a fire and then we both died in it and we had it all recorded? Because we were...
That's true. And they'd find it like Pompeii.
Yeah.
We'd be perfectly preserved.
Oh my God.
Spooning each other.
Ew.
What? If that door locked and a fire started in the corner and we had 2 minutes left to live, you wouldn't fuck me? No. All right, folks. And that's folks with a hard L. I bet I've said that exact opening.
Oh, definitely.
Guess what? It's a weed episode. And that means I got...
Oh, no.
That means I smoked and I ate an edible and we're lighting it up intellectually.
What?
Okay, so... But specifically... Specifically, we're doing stone science. Science,
yes!
With Matt. Say it with me. Science with Matt. Can I get a
science with Matt?
This has been Science with Matt.
So let's just dive right in. My first thing that I was like, what? It's just fucked up to me that they milked a cow and then they found out all of the different ways to use what came out.
Like, there's rarely a thing that hasn't been incorporated with milk at some point.
Yeah, but I just mean even just the raw milk of it all.
Yeah.
It's like they made butter, cream, half and half, I think.
Yeah.
Coffee creamer.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese. Oh, my God.
Every kind of cheese.
So caught up in the liquids, I forgot all about the solids.
There's so many solids.
And the semi-solids. Cottage cheese. Actually, creme fraiche. That's a middle one. Soft cheeses, obviously.
Ricotta.
Yeah.
It's a real in-betweener. Very soft.
But it's just like, who did all that?
Right.
And it's fucked up that we just do that from cow titty milk.
Yeah.
It just feels like butter and like cream cheese in particular are two things that like you can imagine them having in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Because it's like, obviously when you get to like a Dorito, like enough has happened after...
whatever it was came right. from the earth.
Yeah.
That it's like, obviously a medieval person would never figure that out.
No, no.
But butter, it's like so many steps that they had to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, like who was just like steps. Sitting around just like kind of jerking off a bunch of milk.
Right.
Until suddenly they noticed it changed.
Whipped cream, obviously. Oh. Famously, you watch it go from a liquid to a solid. Can't That's believe so I left fun. Her out. My second one, this I feel like is just kind of a rudimentary stone thought.
Okay.
But science related.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, how do we know the colors I see are the same colors you see?
I fucking hate this question.
I remember asking this in high school physics.
Oh, and you thought you were so smart.
Yeah, and the teacher immediately was like, you're a fucking dumbass, Mr. Pazinski. No, that was my fifth grade teacher. Something else with a P. He had a stash.
Ooh, would you fuck him?
Honestly, probably.
Good to know.
Not Mr. Pazinski. I just remember him being like, yeah, dumbass, like every color, that was such a Chicago thing, dumbass. He is like, yeah, dumbass.
Do you know that? How do you say the state capital of New York?
Albany.
I say Albany too.
It's Albany.
It's Albany. I can't say it. I can't. It's
Albany.
I barely so wrong.
Know Albany.
Oh my god. Albany.
Yeah, I barely know Albany. Anyway, he was like, listen, dumbass. He's like, each color has a different frequency. Like, we know the frequency of it.
Okay.
Like, so it's like, it's going to be the same color we're seeing.
Right.
Because our eyes.
It's just literally the same thing.
Right. Right. We've probably talked about how airplanes work, but I don't get it.
Not at all. I think about it every time I'm on an airplane. And like, we just like trust that it's going to work every time.
Yeah.
How does it work?
I saw a TikTok from a flight attendant where she was describing turbulence with Jell-O.
I have not seen.
She put like a little toy plane in the middle of a cup of Jell-O and was like, this is an airplane and the Jell-O is the air. And like, you can shake it a bunch and that's turbulence. But like, the airplane is stuck where it is. It's not going anywhere.
Because of the jet streams?
Yeah, it's basically like solid.
I hate that. Does it feel solid if you're outside of the plane?
Obviously not. Unless you're also...
Of course not. Of course not. But I thought that for a second.
Because how fast does an airplane go?
Like 500 miles an hour, right? Or more?
Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I feel like if you were a person flying at that speed, like, yeah, it would feel like that. Like Jell-O. If you just stepped out of the plane, obviously, right, no, you'd fall right down.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's because you're moving at that speed, I think.
Wow.
But also, yeah, speed of light is like so fast.
So fast. I don't like thinking about things like light and the air as being solid. That's microwaves.
Right.
The fact that they Photons. Do things. It's just like...
Right.
I just don't want to scale that small, you know? I feel like I don't really need to.
Unrelated, but this thought just popped in my head.
Tell me.
Oh, speaking of science with Matt. Okay, let's bank the other one. Fuck, I'm going to forget
it. You're going to forget it. You're absolutely going to.
Oh, it's like Sophie's choice. Now I have to pick one because I'll forget the other.
You're going to forget both now.
No. One thought was, why were sea monkeys the... choice of animal that we would give to children? Freaky children.
And are they real? Are no. sea monkeys real?
Yeah.
Like, what are they? Are they actually an animal? Or are yeah, they like a bacteria? Shrimp. It's a shrimp.
Yeah. We're giving kids bacteria farms to just grow on their bedside table.
I don't know, man. Anything's marketable. You can sell anything.
I bet you can.
Yeah.
That body. yeah, so sea monkeys, that's confusing. And also, yeah, everybody who had sea monkeys was like, okay, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have goldfish?
Yeah. and it died because I carried it a bunch of places.
Oh my God. Seriously? You were the girl from Finding Nemo?
Not, I didn't take it out of the jar.
But you like took it.
But I carried the jar around a lot. So it just, it was living in like constant tsunami conditions.
Horrible. All right. What was the other thought?
The other thought was we had this microscope at home that my brother got for like a birthday. Which was a lame birthday gift for like 8-year-old.
Yeah, it's like giving a kid a microscope isn't going to get them excited about science. Dropping eggs will get them excited about
science. It actually like is a pretty common gift for children, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
They sell them in like kits.
Yeah.
But this one, it was like almost like a computer screen.
Okay.
And you put it underneath it and then it would show it on the screen.
Oh.
And I just remember I went to plug it in and got the most electric shock I've ever felt. And that is why science is in me. That was like a superhero moment.
Oh my God.
But that was I still think of it. I was like, oh, right. That was the time I got electric shocked.
You mean electrocuted?
No, because electrocuted. You were electrocuted. But it was like a lot.
Yeah.
I could have been killed. Also, I don't know what zero G is.
I don't. Are you
zero game? Because that's what you got. I don't know.
I was just attacked.
You know, zero G is like the zero gravity.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're in space, apparently.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're just like floating. It just feels like you're constantly falling.
Oh, that's horrifying.
That sensation that you get like on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Is what they experience constantly.
My mind right now.
That's why they go into those like things
that like shake them up and that they go around, 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 around.
Right.
They're like guinea pig wheels, but like also, what's that? Adam?
Right.
Da Vinci? Yeah.
Da Vinci man machine.
Yeah.
They just feel that constantly in space.
Every single time. You know why I think they're just floating? Because every time we see astronauts in like a movie, it's scored with like beautiful music.
Right.
And I'm like, they're having a great time.
But I think it's like, because it's constant, your brain will just be like, okay, we'll stop noticing it.
Mind over matter. Mind over not even fucking matter.
It's just like, yeah, your brain will just adapt to it. I'm pretty sure I read this all in a fiction book. So they could be fake.
Wait a second. This is fully sci-fi.
Oh, the fact that baby teeth are like right under the eyeball, basically.
How dare you? My sister might be giving birth right at this moment. And now that's all I'm going to think of when I hold my beautiful new baby niece.
Yeah. Every time you look at a baby, you just know if it didn't have skin, it would be a monster. It's true of anything. My last one is like, I don't like to think about how many ants there are on Earth.
No.
And how basically all, it's just like they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They came into my apartment to spray today.
Oh no.
They were checking everybody's apartment.
How do they get all the way up here?
Right. I don't know if it's when I got an email that was like, hey, there's going to be like involuntary like pest checks for the whole building. But I'm like, what if they just sent that to our floor to make us feel better? Like it was everybody.
Aw, that's nice of them.
But like we're a problem.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, you should reply all and see what happens.
I wish I had that power. Oh, the number of ants. It's just like you hear a statistic that there's like a trillion ants or something.
Yeah.
Like put together, ants weigh more than all humans put together or something.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Or like more, I bet.
Yeah.
But also just the type of bugs. There's so many.
I don't like thinking about it. There are so many.
Are you telling me each of those evolved for a different reason?
That's insane. And what of them can I eat?
No bugs.
What?
Why are you eating bugs?
I don't know. Just in case.
Right. In case of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think there were two things from the Worst Things First or intro that we wanted to check in on.
Oh, right. A bunch of people sent the story about Kraft Mac and Cheese, the lady who's suing Kraft Mac and Cheese because her Velveeta
Oh, nothing like it. It's like butter cheese.
Yeah, it's fucked up. What is Velveeta?
What is Velveeta? Never tell me, please.
It's not a real food stuff. Mm-mm. No part of that came from the earth.
No. And I don't mind it. Velveeta sue.
Oh, she's suing them because her 5-minute mac and cheese takes longer than 5 minutes to cook.
Wow.
Which, it's fucked up. I saw that before, but just saying it high, I'm like, she's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's
and
right.
And don't give me that bullshit about, oh, your microwave's different from other No one here is supposed to be paying attention to what your microwave setting is to. They should just be making it all for the same situation.
I've never agreed harder with something in my life.
I feel like I was just possessed.
Yeah, when a recipe is like, microwave at 40%.
40% of what?
Yeah, they made that up.
If it's not a button on the microwave, I'm not doing it.
Right. 40% of what? Yeah. What? Yeah. What is that? You can microwave at different frequencies? Heats?
Why is it in watts? No one. Ugh.
Oh, it's because microwave is the type of light that we can't see. That just fucks me up, and I'm right. I'm right.
I want to flip this table over.
Here's the thing, because we're coming to the end, mm-hmm. and I know we ordered chocolate chip cookies and pudding.
Yeah, and brownie.
And it's like definitely been delivered in this time, right? I bet.
I was thinking about that. If like, what if he had been calling and we didn't answer?
It's all I can think about. So we're going to have to wrap this up so I can go eat some cookie.
Yeah. Gotta get a taste.
Did you see Sesame Street tweeted some shit that was like, Cookie Monster's name is Phil? I don't.
Get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about? Phil?
Yeah, like he has the first name that's not Cookie.
So he should be Mr. Cookie Monster?
Oh, it's not Phil. It's Sid. Did you know me name is Sid? But me still like to be called Cookie Monster. They just tweeted that shit out October 13th. And this was,
is that canon? Is that allowed?
Yeah, I had to check that. This is why Elon Musk is ruining Twitter.
Yeah.
Because for a second, I could not trust whether this was the official Cookie Monster.
Right.
And I had to go check, but it is the official one.
Sid, that's my grandpa's name.
That is so fucked up. They just tweeted that out. Now it's canon.
Yeah.
Jim Henson, is he them?
Yeah.
He should be dead.
He might be. Is he? Is Jim Henson alive?
I think so.
What? That's like, that's incredible. I'm so glad that Jim Henson gets to see the impact that he has made.
Yeah, shit.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim Henson.
No, he died in 1990.
I'm so sorry, Jim Henson.
But he was born in 1936.
He like lived.
Yeah, that he would only be like 94.
It's pretty old. Do you think that he would agree that
we should go get Cookie
and that his name is Sid?
We need to wake him back up. When will science do that?
Yeah.
For like one question, at least.
We're not going to do another stone deep dive until they wake up Jim Henson.
Yeah. Reanimate Jim Henson's corpse like Kermit the Frog.
It's the only way to bring on Happy Hour back.
That should be. Yeah, of course, if they reanimate his corpse, he should be used like a puppet.
Oh my God, we have to go write this movie.
Yeah, that is a good idea for a movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Daniel Radcliffe corpse one.
Right.
Swiss Army Man.
But Jim Henson's corpse is used as a puppet.
I'm sorry, Jim Henson.
To seek vengeance for them announcing that Cookie Monster's name is Sid. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. As we've been doing for the past few months, we're going to pick one cause to highlight for this entire month. And this month, in celebration of the holidays, we wanted to highlight a cause that we've
highlighted in the past, and that is Trans Santa, which is an organization that sends gifts to trans youth in need, safely and anonymously. So obviously, it is an incredibly difficult time to be trans in the world right now. And what a nice thing that you can do to help support the trans community, especially trans youth. So we'll put a link to Trans Santa in our bio. You can either donate to the organization as a whole and support their work, or you can pick a specific person to buy gifts for and send. So all of those details will be at the link in our show notes.
Check it out.
And of course, all of our past Do Better White people are at the link in our Instagram bio, so you can support everything that we've done if you're feeling in a giving mood this holiday season. Moving on, what TV have we been watching? What have you been watching?
I have started The Crown. I have been watching White Lotus. I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. And then I am fully in Lost. I am now on episode 12 of the first season, and I'm very into it.
I love it.
Yeah. What about you? What are you watching?
What have I been watching? I watched, while I was at home, Dead to Me.
Oh, yeah.
Love Dead to Me. It came back for their final third season. Mm-hmm. Loved all of that. And then there's a show on Hulu called The Patient with Steve Carell and Dom Hall Gleason, the redhead guy. That is very good. I don't think you would like it.
Okay.
You might like it.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of... So the concept is that this therapist gets taken prisoner. He's kidnapped by his patient, who turns out is a serial killer. Not spoiler. This is like...
That's the premise of the show.
He's kidnapped by his patient, who's a serial killer, who wants to stop being a serial killer. And the only way he can try to do that is by confessing to his therapist, but he has to keep his therapist hostage.
Of course.
To prevent him from going to the police. But Steve Carell's character is Jewish, and there's a lot of, like, very overt references to, like, concentration camps.
Cool.
He's kept captive and, like, yeah. So I don't know, you know, trigger warning on that if you want to go down that road. But it was a thrilling 10-episode series.
Nice.
So. And I do, it is nice to, like, watch a thing that is contained.
Yeah. You know? Love a miniseries.
Maybe it'll come back. Who
love
knows?
A miniseries.
Oh, I also watched Bad Sisters.
You and did? I loved Isn't it. Isn't it so good?
Yeah.
Everyone should watch Bad Sisters.
I really, really loved it.
I really fucking loved that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great show.
I called it, though. I knew. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. But it's great.
So, yeah, I watched a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm so glad you loved Bad Sisters.
What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is just a big old shout out to Jersey Cotton Sheets. I just fucking love
concept.
Jersey Cotton Sheets. That, like, kind of almost fleece-like sheet that you put on when it's chilly out. It's getting cold out there, and it's so snuggly and cozy, and it's, like, a little heavier, and it just, ooh, I love it. I love it so much. I want to go crawl in one right now.
Yeah.
And I just, it's so, and it's, like, really fully robe season now. Like, I have transitioned from my summer robe to my winter robe, which is more of, like, a thick terry cloth kind of thing, but a little fuzzier, and just all things cozy, making me feel good.
Yeah, I need to bust the robes out.
Gotta bust the robes out.
I do think that is a good reminder that whenever it starts getting dark at like 3 p.m. now, which we're firmly in getting dark at 3 p.m. season, it's like, embrace it. We can't get out of it. Rather than just completely succumbing to seasonal depression, it's like, okay, I'm going to get naked, get in a robe, feel that terry cloth rub against myself, make some chili, enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make chili today.
Do it.
I've decided.
I want you to.
And I'm going to use the chopper I bought because of TikTok.
Wow. Is it a slap chop?
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember slap chop from the infomercials?
No, it's not a slap chop.
Okay.
It's that thing that it's like a basically like
a lever and you put the thing in the middle and it like eats it like an alligator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My other chaser, I have complicated feelings about Spotify Wrapped because it's like I just know that my Instagram for the next 3 days at least is just going to be people sharing their Spotify Wrapped and thinking they're the most interesting people ever. And
of
it's
course.
Like, no. Okay.
We're all basic.
Especially when it's like, okay, I follow a lot of gay people and it's like, we've all been listening to the same five people. It's not that special. We're all the same. Unfortunately for me, because I had, I will put on like this classical music playlist that Spotify suggests. It's not like I curated it myself. I play this Spotify playlist while I work. So it's on for several hours. And my top Spotify artist was Chopin. Is that how you say it? Even?
I don't even know.
I think it's Chopin.
But you texted our group a photo of your Spotify Wrapped, and I was already on a plane, and I started laughing out loud hysterically. And the guy next to me was like looking over in that like "what's so funny" kind of way, and I was like, "You wouldn't understand."
It was literally Chopin, Harry Styles, Beyonce, Kacey Musgraves.
Yep. The five divas.
Labyrinth, who is the person who sings the Euphoria theme song that I listen to like a bunch. Anyway, but what I do love about Spotify Wrapped is that we always get to see everybody who has Unhappy Hour in their top podcast listens. So that is always very nice.
Yes.
And that brings me joy, especially as we only have a few left.
We only got a couple.
Only two after this. All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode. Make sure you call in the rant hotline for next week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. As always, you can buy some merch at unhappyhourshop.com before it is gone. You can head to the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, Marina Henke, and me, Matt Belisai. Grace Chen, Liz O'Malley, Meredith Rice, and Kirk Courtney help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. I keep wanting to sing All I Want for Christmas, and then it comes out as Wicked.
As it should. As it should.
Maybe I'll try again.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Oh, that sounds way better.